Hey, Shalom Rav Osai. Excuse me. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Nun Gimel, and we are holding here on the bottom of Nun Beis Mem Beis. We had just said a statement that Rabbi Eloi had chopped down a palm tree with Shemitah dates, and they were young dates. They were, I guess, unripe dates, and he chopped it down for the wood, and obviously destroyed the dates. And the problem is that Shemitah, right, not allowed to destroy perish fruit with Kedusha Shviyas. So Rav Nachman had said that they were young dates, but they were still considered dates. So how could you destroy Peros Shviyas? So Rav Nachman had quoted a Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi had said that a small, tiny, unripened grape is considered a fruit, and the Rabbanan had said that no, meaning in terms of Orla, that it's still usher. Orla, it's still, if it's the first 3 years of the grape vine's existence, so they're still not allowed to eat this unripened grape because it's considered to be a fruit. And the Rabbanan disagreed and said it's not considered a fruit, and so therefore Rabbi Eloi was holding like the Rabbanan. So now we're picking it up here. Let's see. Five lines up. Maskevila Rav Shimi min Harda. Rav Shimi from Harda asked on Rav Nachman that he didn't like this understanding because mi pligi Rabbanan led Rabbi Yossi b'shar Ilanos. Because again, remember Rabbi Eloi chopped down a date tree, a palm tree. Right, this machlokas over here was between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim by grapes, but we see that the Chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi Yossi by other trees because at that time we learned in the Mishnah. When can you not allowed to cut down a fruit tree in Shemitah? And i.e., from what point in the fruit's development do we consider it to be a fruit, and therefore you're not allowed to cut down the tree? So Beishamay Omrim, call Ilanus Mishiyotzio, all trees from when they start bringing forth, buds and from the leaves. And Basil Lomim, and the Basil says, Acharuvin Mishi Yisharshu, the carob trees from when they start Yisharshu, meaning when the fruit looks like they're starting to join together, and Yisharsharis is a chain, but meaning when the fruit starts to intermingle. Vagafanim, what about the grapes? Mishi Agriu, when the grapes themselves become the size of a girua, which is a very small grape. We'll see in a second. Vazesim Mishianetsu, the olive trees from when this item, again, we'll see in a second, grows around the olive themselves. Ushar Kalilanos Mishiotsu, and all other trees, right, from when they agree with Beishamai, from when they start bringing forth, right, you have buds on the branches. From Ravasi says, Hu Boser, Hu Girua, Hu Pul Halavan. That Boser is the same as Girua, is the same as Pul Halavan. And the Gemara says, Pul Halavan Sakadaitach, what do you mean? Pul Halavan is literally translates as a white bean. Beans do not grow on trees. Right? Ela Ima Shiru Kipul Halavan, meaning that a Girua is a Boser, and the size is like a Pul Halavan, is like this small bean. Okay, but either way, we see that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yossi by other trees. Right, so Uman Shmazle the Azar Boser in Smardar Lo, who is the one who says in the Mishnayos and Shviyas that a Boser, meaning that is considered to be a fruit, but a small unripened grape, is not? Right, it's a Rabbanan, that's the Rabbanan. Right, so we see Vakatani Sharkilanos Mishiyotzio, and we see in our Brisa, right, in our Mishnah, that you know, any other trees, right, from when they start bringing forth buds, that's, you're already not allowed to cut them down. So you see that again. So how could Rabbi Eloi cut down the date tree even though they had small dates on it? Right, you see from the point when the buds start growing, so that's already no good. You can no longer cut down the tree because of Shemitah. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ela Rabbi Eloi b'din nischani cuts. He cut down a palm tree without any fruit. Well, apparently, there are male and female palm trees. So apparently, Rashi says that they pick these in Nisan. Okay, fine. And so therefore, there are no fruit that are going to be forthcoming, and therefore, it's not usher. All right. Torah by Wilander Abraisa. Again, more about this chiyuv of biur, of literally means burning, getting rid of the Shemitah produce that you have in your house. If the Shemitah produce that in question is gone from the fields, and that's called the requirement of biur. It's machlokes in the Rishonim whether you actually have to burn it or you can just put it outside your house as hefker. And then, you know, I guess subsequently take it back into your house, because then, you know, you're taking from Hefker. So that's Machlokas. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we paskin that way, that you don't actually have to burn it. I could be wrong, but I believe that that's how we paskin. Either way, that's the discussion in the Rishonim. Tana Rabbi will enter a brisa. Ochlim banavim ad sheyichlu delios shel okel. Ochel. You're allowed to eat the grapes until, for whatever reason, the grapevines in Ochel are no good. Meaning that's a place. Meaning that was, we can assume that if there are no more grapevines, no more grapes in Ochel, so then all the grapes are gone, and at that point you have a chi of beer on grapes. But if there is a vineyard that's later than this, so then Ochel Nalayan, then you can use those as a basis to permit the grapes that are still found in people's houses. Right, but in general, this place called Ochel was the last. Ochel b'zeisim ashiyichla acharon mitakoa. Right, Tekoa was the last stand for olives, and when all the olives were gone at Tekoa, so then you had to get rid of the olives in your house. Rabbi Elazar Omer ashiyichla acharon shel gush chalav. You know, it was a place called Gush Chalav, which was the last crop of olives. K'deshia ani yotze. When is the shear, right? And so to a point where if a poor person would go out in this Gush Chalav area, he wouldn't be able to find even a rova, which is a quarter kav, and that's a kav being a measurement, right? A quarter kav of olives, right? In the trees, right? Ochlu begurgos ashichlu pagi base hini, and you're allowed to eat grogros. Grogros are figs, right? Dried out figs, until the figs in base hini are gone. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Lahuskru pagi base hini elinin meiser. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not actually true. The only reason you mentioned the base hini figs is for maestros. Because we said that pagi base hini vahini the tuviana chayavim b'meiser. Meaning just to say that they're shayach to the chiyav of meiser. That's in Eretz Yisrael, right? To say that is already in terms of Meister, but that was not actually according to Rabbi Yehuda. That was not actually the last stand for figs during Shemitah. Okay, Ochlo Matmarim Ad Sheyichla Ha'Archam Mi. But Tzohar apparently was the last of the figs. Of the dates. Sorry, and at that point, when Tzohar had no more dates, he had to do beer. He had to get rid of the food, the dates in Yehuda. If you remember, we split Eretz Yisrael into three areas in terms of Beor, and when the last city or the last farm or the last forest, whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with, in that entire region ran dry, so then you had to get rid of the food. So Tzohar was in Yehuda, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Ochlan, Alkol, Alshel, Bein Kipin. Again, we quoted this the other day, right? You're allowed to eat it if there are dates between up in the branches, right? Again, in the actual tree itself. But you cannot eat it if the dates have fallen between and they're sticking out between the bottom part of the date tree of the palm tree. That does not count, right? It has to be up in the leaves. Or minhu, hold on 1 second. I'll ask you a kasha. Ochlim banavim ada pesach uvezesim ada teres or grogos ad chanukah v'tomorim ad purim. Vam rav bibi rav yochanan tarti basraisim achlif. Right, we switch chanukah and purim. But anyway, but you see, this brisa gives a list for all these fruits. It gives you a date, not the fruit, a date, but a date in time, right? A chag, a holiday, until you could eat those fruits. Right, you're telling me it's based on, right, the last brisa we just spent the last couple of minutes saying, right, listing off all these places. Right, is it dependent on the holiday or the place? So the Gemara gives two answers. Either that's the same shear, that's the same time, meaning that in certain areas that's when these fruits would be finished. Viboy same another answer. Hakatani behedya imyesh mucharos mehen, then ochla mehen. Okay, the price had said that if there are anything that's later, well, you can rely on what's later. So basically, in economy, that the holidays may be a deadline, but if for whatever reason the fruit exists in these towns that we listed earlier after that, so then you can rely on those towns and continue to keep the produce in your house. Okay. Tanya with another Rabbi Sarah. Hashem Gamliel Omer Siman Leharim Milin. There is a sign that you're in a mountain. Is Milin, and Milin apparently are gallnut trees. Okay. Not even sure what gallnuts are, but I think that we still have them nowadays. I'm not sure. Okay, either way. Siman La Mokim De Galin. For a valley, we have palm trees. Siman La Nechalim, what is a sign that you're near a stream? So then you have reeds. Kanim reads, Simin l'shvela, what about if you're in a plain, P-L-A-I-N, so then shikma, apparently it's a tree that has no fruit. The aval pisha ain raya ledavar, zeich ledavar, and even though there's no proof for any of this, there's a you can find the remez in the pasuk. Shemar pasuk says, "Vaytein lamelech as a kesef Yerushalayim ka'avanim es arazim nasam b'shikmim asher b'shvela l'rov." Right? Again, you see the shikamim in b'shvela are on the plains. Now, who cares? Right? Again, what's the difference? Why are you telling me that you can find, I don't know, walnut trees in the mountains and you have reeds in the rivers, etc., etc.? Who cares? So, similarim milim, similar makim dekalim. What about the first two? So, nafkamina le bikurim. That's relevant to bikurim. Ditzan, like we learned in the Mishnah. Ein mevim bikurim elam shivas haminim. Velo mi dekalim shivaharim, velo mi peros sheba makim. You bring bikurim from the, obviously, the shivas haminim, right? For the sheba minim. But you bring them from the best stuff you can. So, you don't bring date palms in the mountains. I mean, you don't bring dekalim, you don't bring dates from palm trees in the mountains, and you don't bring it from let's say, peros, that's not fruit, that's talking about, I would imagine, right, I'd imagine it's talking about different grains in the valleys, right? You don't bring it, because in those scenarios, those are not the best produce, and you should bring from, rather, where you find those items normally. Similar nachalim kanim. What's different? Who cares that we find reeds in a river? It's nafkamino the nachal eson, because again, if that's what's a nachal eson, that's the area where you would do an egla arufa. So if you have reeds there, so then you can see that it's a nachal eson, and you can do the halacha the egla arufa. Again, the egla arufa, if you find a dead body between two cities, lo nadam yikao, we have no idea who killed him. So the people, the zakenim in this closest city, bring out a cow and they break its neck near a river. So that's how you define, figure out a river. Simen l'shvela sikma, what do you have these trees that don't produce fruit on a plain, so nafkamina l'meka kol memchar, so not shayach to selling, meaning, as Rashi says, if you sell a plain, so you would imagine, right, it would be assumed that it has these types of trees growing on it. And if it doesn't, so then there would be some issue, right? You could perhaps reverse the sale, or you could ask for more money or less money or whatever it is, I'm not sure. Okay. Ash, does the hockey, and then finally we finish off right before the Mishnah. Right, now that you mentioned the whole buying and selling thing, so the cool, not only the Mekka, Umemkar. So all of them really are shaykh to Reb Mekach Umemkar. If you sell a plot of land on a mountain or a plain or a river, right, you need to have these things. But otherwise, there could be issues with the sale. Okay, fine. Another mission again. This parak is called Makom Shenagu. So we're talking about different minhagim and whether they apply in certain scenarios and whether you have to keep them, etc. So here the Mishnah says Makom Shenagu Limkor Behemet Daka LeNachrim. If there's a minhag that you sell. Behemadaka is thin animals like goats, etc. To goyim, if the minhag is to sell those type of goats, those type of animals to goyim, so then mochrin, then you're allowed to machum shalona go limkor right in mochrin. And if the minhag is not to, so then you shouldn't. Why would there be an issue? So let's just because it may come to. I'm trying to say right. The Mishnah doesn't say straight up, but just to explain. There's an isser, as you're going to see in a second. Well, let's read it, and then I'll explain. But you're not allowed to sell big animals, agalim, sayachim, shleimim, mushvurim, right? Whether it's calves or sayachim are foals, right? Even though they are too young for malacha, right? Whether they're healthy, whether they're hurt. Right? Again, the issue is. Right, because we don't want. I feel like a Rashi over here. Which Rashi is it? Yeah, Mikol Makom Im Rochem Hen Behemagasa. That's like five lines down, the white lines. The Gozer Ber Rabbanan Mishum Sheila Mishum Schirus. Chazal or Gozer that you should rent or lend an animal to a guy because they may use it on Shabbos, and we Jews obviously are commanded or enjoined as the. Our scroll word, I guess, would be not to let our animals work on Shabbos. Now, that's obvious. That makes sense when you're a farmer and right. Okay, so don't take the cow out to pasture or the ox out to do whatever to plow on Shabbos. So you can't have your animals work on Shabbos. But let's say you lend or rent your animal to the guy. So the guy is going to work your animal on Shabbos because for him there's no issur, and you still own the animal. Well, you haven't sold it to him, but you're renting it to him. So you still own the animal. So your animal is not working. on Shabbos. That's why the Mishnah says nobody would be able to sell a behema gasa to a guy. The question is, what about behema daka? What about these kind of thin, non-working animals like goats, etc.? So the question is, right, again, the different minhagim, and whether there's a gzeira, maybe if you sell the small animals, you end up selling the big animal to a guy. Right? The question is whether you had a gzeira or not. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to sell an animal that is broken, as we pointed out, right? It's obviously not going to do work on Shabbos. And Ben B'seira matir b'sus. And Ben B'seira allowed people to sell horses to goyim, as Rashi points out over here, because that's not already a melacha d'oraisa, right? What's the issue of riding a horse is d'rabbanan in nature, right? Because you may come to break off a branch to hit it, to guide it, etc., etc. But the actual riding on a horse, that's not actual any melacha. And you're not going to do a gzeira on a shvus, right? On a dindra bottom. Makam shenagu lechol tzli b'leile psachim. Now, this is already what's relevant for us in terms of psachim. In a place where the minig is to eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach, so then ochlin you're allowed to. Makam shenagu shalo lechol in ochlin. But if the minig is not to do that, so then we don't do that. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the prevailing minhag in almost every area, in almost every city in the world, is not to eat roasted meat on Pesach. Again, we don't want to get confused with, as if it was the Korban Pesach, eating it chutz l'Yerushalayim. Right, okay, fine. Rabbi Yehuda Marav says the Gemara, Asar lo la'odem sheyomer basar zeh l'Pesachu. It is not mutter for a person to say, this meat is for Pesach. And Rashi says, fascinating, afilu shchuta kvar, even if it's already shechted, because we don't want people to think that this is for the Korban Pesach. It's as if you are being makdish your animal, you're setting it up as hekdesh, as a korban, and then you're eating a korban outside of Yerushalayim. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here, I think. Well, the Tosfos on the top says, and I'm not sure, I can't see it in Rashi right now at the moment, but the only Tosfos on the top says that Rashi holds that it looks like you're right now saying that this meat is mukdash, this meat is a korban. The problem is, again, and then that goes along, the problem is that if you're going to tell me that that applies to meat that was already shechted, so how does that work? It looks like a korban Pesach. So what Tosfos explains, at least differing from Rashi, is saying that no, it looks like that you already designated this animal while it was still alive as a korban Pesach, and now you're just reminding people and saying this is the meat from the animal that I designated as the korban Pesach. Right, again, maybe semantics, but either way, that makes a bit more sense. If you say like Tosfos, but but basically the concern is that we don't want people thinking that you're eating the korban Pesach outside of Yerushalayim. Amar Rav Papa, Davka Basar. This is only meat. Avachiti, but wheat, that's low. That's not a problem. Dimitra Lepiskal Kamar. Because the person, if he says this wheat is for Pesach, so obviously, what is he saying? He's not saying that there's a Korban Mincha here or whatever, or a Korban, whatever, with matzah. He's saying that I'm watching this wheat, for Pesach. Right, again, everybody needs Masa Shmura, so therefore that's fine. Ubasar lo, and really, the Gemara says, one second, you really can't say this meat is for Pesach. Meitzvah, I'll ask you a question. Namar Rabbi Yossi, Todos ish Romi, Todos, this guy who lived in Rome, Hinig es b'nei Romi, lecho gedil mikulasim, b'lei lipsachim. Right, his minhag, the people in Rome, would eat a goat roasted, exactly like you would roast the Korban Pesach, on a spit, over a fire. Right, with the insides on top of them, literally, and as if it was the Korban Pesach. And Shalchu lo, sorry, one second. The Chachamim said to him, Il mali todos ata, if you weren't todos, and we'll see whether that was positive or negative, but if you weren't this guy todos, so then gazarnu alecha nidoi, we would have put you in cherim, right, shatamachal, as you saw, kachim mechutz, because you're causing people to think that you're eating a korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, "Kachim zagodaitech." Really, they're eating kachim? No, ela ima korav lachilas Yisrael kachim b'chutz. It's very close to eating. Right, you're gonna make Jews eat korbanos outside of Yerushalayim. Meaning, it looks like the korban Pesach, and that's gonna cause people to think that that's what you're doing. So Gemara says, And the kasha is like this: mekulas in, she'im mekulas lo. Right now, if you tell me that, right, what did they do? They said it was only a problem if you eat it mekulas, if you eat it like, you know, roasted over a spit with the innards outside, right, just on top, right, just struck the round of it. But other roasted meat is fine. So why are you telling me that it's a problem? So Amri, so they said it's a mekulas loshna amar loshna lo amar. Meaning the kasha is, why, so it's only a problematic if you do it, if you roast it mekulas, like in this fashion, but not if you say this meat is for Pesach. So Gemara says, you're right. Mekulas, if you roast it like that, like they did the korban Pesach, so then loshma amar loshma lomar. It doesn't matter whether you say this is for Pesach or not, that's already a problem. But she'inu mekulas, if you have meat that's not roasted like that, so then perish in lo, perish lo. If you specify this is for Pesach, so then you're going to have a problem, because it sounds like this was the korban Pesach. But if you don't say anything, so then everything is going to be fine. So Rav Acha Masni Lo Laha Masnisin Kribi Shimon. Rav Acha actually taught this entire Mishnah, this whole story with Todos Yishromi, like Rabbi Shimon, meaning that the Rabbi Shimon was the one who told the story over, not Rabbi Yossi. Maskav Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, one second, Mishlam Laman the Tani La Rabbi Yossi. Nicha, it makes sense if it was Rabbi Yossi who taught this whole story. But if it was Rabbi Shimon, Elamad the Masnik Rabbi Shimon, Minicha, that doesn't work out, because that's not Rabbi Shimon Poter. Now, what's the case here? The case is, if someone said he's going to bring a Korban Mincha of Seorin, of barley. Now, Korban Mincha is only fine wheat flour, not barley. Barley is much more inferior, so that's not a thing. Maybe there is no Korban Mincha of barley. So let's say someone says that. So does a person have to bring a korban mincha, right? An actual korban mincha out of wheat? So the Tanakhama says yes, but Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon poter, he doesn't have to bring anything. Because he's not giving a korban like the people who usually give a korban. Meaning he's saying it a ridiculous thing, and it's not a thing, right? To offer a korban that's not shaykh, right? It's like saying I'm bringing a korban of apples. Right? There's no korban with apples, so it's not a thing. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says. And then Amrle Ravina. The Ravashi, meaning, and therefore, if you tell me that you say Basar Zeh, right, the Pesach, right, well, you're talking about a piece of meat in your local supermarket, so that's obviously not at all related to the Korban Pesach. That's not the normal way of bringing the Korban Pesach. So I'm like Ravashi, the Ravina, the Ravashi. So meaning, so how could you tell me that it was Rabbi Shimon who is the author of that whole story? So I'm going to reveal the Ravashi, Umad Demasni Lek Rabbi Yossi, Minicha. One second, it doesn't work like Rabbi Yossi either. Because if Amar Rava, Rava said, Rabbi Shimon, Bishitis Rabbi Yossi Amra. Rabbi Shimon was agreeing with Rabbi Yossi. He's holding like Rabbi Yossi. Meaning when Rabbi Yossi said that it's not a, when a person says, I'm going to bring a korban mincha from barley, it's not a thing, right? He was following Rabbi Yossi Shita. What's Rabbi Yossi Shita? The Amar Af Bikmar Devar Rav Adam Nitfas. Rabbi Yossi says that a person is, when you a person makes a neder, so it's shayach, his entire statement is shayach. You have to take all of his words into account, right? So you can't just say korban mincha and cut it off and leave off the barley. You have to say an entire korban mincha of barley. That's his entire statement. So according to Rabbi Yossi, right, that would be a ridiculous thing. You don't say that, right? So you don't view that. So in my life, the Rabbi Yossi, mid Rabbi Shimon, savra lak Rabbi Yossi, nami savra lak Rabbi Shimon. It must be that if Rabbi Shimon is saying that, like Rabbi Yossi, who says that you have to take into account the entire phrase, Rabbi Yossi also holds like the Shimon. Rabbi Yossi also holds like Rabbi Shimon and holds that the Shvua is not accepted. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi also couldn't have been the one who said it, who told this whole story about Todos. Because, again, the same idea that, it was not the normal way of bringing the Korban Pesach. It shouldn't have been a problem, right, what Todos Yishromi did, because it wasn't the normal way, just like it was not the normal way to bring a Korban Mincha of barley, so it's also not the normal way to bring a goat, right, as a Korban Pesach in Rome. So the Gemara says, no, it's not necessarily true. Rabbi Shimon sovel like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi sovel like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi in terms of, you know, what type of words and how much of the statement of the neder that we're going to use, that you have to use the entire thing. But Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says that if you do say a lousy neder, that it's entirely nothing. Meaning, again, there are two parts here. Part A is how you look at the entire phrase. A person says, I'm offering a korban mincha of barley. So according to both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, so we take the entire statement. We don't break it up and say like, oh, you meant to say I'm having giving a korban mincha, comma, and of barley, and we discard the barley statement. Therefore, you have to bring a korban mincha of wheat. We don't say that, right? Right, we say that we view the entire statement together. But once you view the entire statement together, so Rabbi Shimon holds that what you just said was nothing. Rabbi Yossi holds that no, what you said is valuable, has something to it, and therefore you have to bring a korban mincha. Rabbi Shimon is going to say no, your entire statement was ridiculous, and therefore we're not shayach. Rabbi Yossi would take the first part and say like, oh no, you said you have to bring a korban mincha, and then you have to bring it out of wheat, even though you were mistaken in the second part of your statement. Okay, Iboy Lehu, let's go past the Mishnah. This is a long daf tomorrow. Iboy Lehu asked the following question: Todos Yisroel Mikavur Abahu Obal Agrufin Haiva. Meaning, was Todos a good guy? And therefore they didn't put him in Cherem? Or was he a big tough guy and a bad guy, and therefore they didn't put him in Cherem? Right? They didn't want to upset him and you know, put him in Cherem. So Toshma, I'll bring you a proof. Oh, Dorash Todos Ish Romi. Todos apparently darshened. Right? The fact, again, right away, that's our proof. Right? If he darshened the Pasuk, so then apparently he was Tam Chacham. So, and then actually, this is in Yana Dioma, right? This week's Parsha. Ma Ro Chananya Mishal Ve'Azariah. Right? What in the world? What caused Hanani Mishal Ve'Azariah to jump in the Kiv Shana Eish? Had the story in the Daniel, right? Nebuchadnezzar put up a statue of himself. Everybody had to bow down to it, and Hanani Mishal Ve'Azariah decided not to, and said, you know, instead got thrown into the fire, and then obviously they were saved in a miraculous way. So, but why did they decide to bow down? Meaning again, there's a whole discussion in terms of whether it was a vodazara to begin with, right? Again, or meaning the other option is that they could have run away. Meaning they didn't have to stay there. Right? It wasn't like everybody was forced to. It was just everybody in the vicinity. So why did they decide to, you know, give themselves over to be mekadesh shem shemayim? So nasu kavuchomer ba'asma mitzvardeim. They made a kavuchomer from the frogs in this week's parsha. Umat tzvardeim. She'ein mitzuyin al kiddush Hashem k'siv b'hu ein mitzuven al kiddush Hashem m'k'siv b'hu v'uvo b'v'isecha v'chadam mishkavcha v'uvo alecha v'sanrecha v'misharisecha. I don't think that's the whole pasuk. I was trying to quote it by heart, but I think I messed it up a little bit. Either way, right? What's the point here? They went into the ovens. Right, the Tzvardim are not commanded to be mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, and they themselves jumped into the ovens, right, as at the request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do you have kneading bowls? Right, again, the last point is also important, meaning uvasanu recha, in your ovens, uvmisharusacha, and in the bowls where they would knead their dough. So when do you have bowls next to the ovens? Right, when the oven is hot. Right, meaning when you're doing some baking. So therefore, again, they didn't just jump into cold ovens, they jumped into hot ovens. Right, the Tzfardim gave their lives up, right, and they're not commanded about Kiddush Hashem. So Anum is Shematum about Kiddush Hashem, right? Alach is Kama Vakama. So too, right? We who are Chayiv to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, we also should give our lives up. So again, that's definitely a lot to look into, right? A lot of Divrei Torah about this Gemara, and certainly if it's Shaykh to this week's Parsha, definitely Kedai to delve into it. But again, the point for us in terms of Daf Yomi purposes is that Todos did this drasha. This is Todos' drasha. Right? This Kal V'Chomer from Hanani Mishal Ve'Azariah from the Tzvardim. So apparently you see that he was an Adam Gadol. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin Amar, right? Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin says that Matil Melai Lekis Shel Tamid Chachamim Hava, that Todos he supported Tamid Chachamim by giving them a way to make a parnasa, meaning he would give them either produce or merchandise, whatever, to sell. So therefore he was supporting Tamid Chachamim. Right? He was obviously a great man, a big tzaddik. Tam Rabbi Yochanan Kol Matil Melai Lekis Tamid Chachamim Zochav Yosheh B'Shiva Shel Mala. Right? Anybody he does that, supports Torah institutions, so he goes and sits in the yeshiva upstairs. Shenamar ki betzel hachokma betzel hakesef. Okay. New Mishnah. Makom shenagu l'adlik esan ner leli yom kippurim. So madlikin, if there's a minhag, the people will light a candle or light the lamps more accurately, genie in the lamp, like Aladdin style, right? They would light their lamps in the house, so then when they would light, so makom shenagu shelo lahadlik, ein madlikin. If the minhag and the leil of the night of Yom Kippur is not to light, then they would not light. And we're going to explain in a second the what we're trying to do, what's the point of the light or the no light. So again, it's usher to be with one's wife on leil Yom Kippurim, and the question simply was, what will preclude such actions better? Is if there is a light or if there's no light? That's the Gemara will explain in a second. Excuse me. But you can light candles, obviously, in shuls, in the Beis Medrash, in the Beis Knesset, in Mavos, Ha'afelim, Al-Gabicholim, right, in dark alleyways, and right, and for sick people, right, you can, it's not a light issue, it's a Tashmish Amita issue. And that's what the Gemara explains. Tanah within the Rebaisa, Pein Sha'an Luv Lahadlik, Pein Sha'an Luv Shalol Lahadlik, right, regardless of whatever the minhag was, Shnei'in Ladavar Echad Niskavnu, everybody was intending for one thing, and that is to prevent Tashmish Hamita, meaning either if there's light, so again, we're Am Yisrael are all tznuim and they do it in the dark, and if there's no light, so then perhaps a person would not see their wives and not be aroused, etc., etc. Okay, so Am Rav Yehoshua. Rav Yehoshua says, Darash Rava v'meich kulim tzadikim l'man Yehoshua aretz. Right, Rava Darash and Dao that, your nation is full of tzadikim, so that they'll inherit Eretz Yisrael. Right, Bein sh'amru l'hadlik, bein sh'amru l'shalol l'hadlik, sh'nei nizkavnu l'davar echad. Right, Amech Kulam Tzadikim. Everybody is trying to fulfill the mitzvahs of the day, regardless of the minhag. Okay, let's. We're gonna stop here. We'll go weiter. Okay, this is already gonna talk about making the bracha on Motzei Shabbos. Right, what bracha do we make? Barim Arei Ha'esh, etc. What bracha do we make on fire for Avdalah? And that's gonna go on to Nandalit. So we'll call it here and have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.